That was Jasper's Lament by Gillian Cosgrove. She's here in the studio with us having a chat.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm still here.
So exciting. So we've been sort of chatting about how you got into music comedy and your show that's coming up, 8 Songs in 8 Weeks. But we also heard through the grapevine, because we've got our ear to the pulse.
To the vines.
Yeah.
We live on a vineyard. Just
congrats,
imagine.
Guys.
No. But we heard that you would also be creating a song during the show for someone in the audience.
Yeah, I do. I was going to cut it because I did not think it would work, and I thought it would be terrifying, and it's still terrifying.
Yeah.
And so far it works. So the idea is basically that these songs are written, each of them is written in a week, but really I write them in about an hour. That's when I actually do it. It's like one panicked hour at the end of that lead up. So the idea is, because the show's an hour, I can also, to give people the proper behind the scenes, write a song during the show. So yeah, I just kind of ask anybody if they have anything they really want a song about. So I just did the show in Perth for The Fringe there, and so we had like a few happy birthdays and a few engagements, which I kind of expected. But then things like one girl had broken both her wrists.
Oh, wow.
She was like recovering from that surgery. She was also a midwife. And her friends had to like brush her hair for her. So cute.
Real heavy baby.
Yeah. And they were so heavy. I wish I had made that joke at the time. It's a good joke. And on the last night, I had wondered if this would happen, but it was quite a short season. A guy came with a story like prepared. He already
prepared
had
it previously.
Yeah. So he had this kind of amazing story that had happened, this legend of a guy named Curtis. And he just told me this incredible story about how he got mistaken for a Target worker, and we wrote it into a song, and it was really fun. So yeah, it's awesome. It's a really nice thing to do. And then I put the songs up after the show so people can listen back to them whenever they want, I guess, if you want to do that.
Well, I guess if you were like Curtis, you'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm famous.
Yes.
There was a couple that came that had actually only gotten engaged like 4 hours beforehand.
Oh, wow.
So she posted the song to announce their engagement, which was really cool. So that was nice. Yeah.
So you're part of people's memories in their lives. Oh, that's so sentimental and lovely.
Yeah, it's nice. It's kind of, it turned out to be much more rewarding and less terrifying than I thought it would be. So
nice.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it means there's something different in the show every night.
Absolutely. That gives you like such a like, yes, I really want to go and see this show because I know that everyone is going to be different and I'm going to see how it unfolds before my eyes.
Yeah, like when we were looking at it, I was like, oh, this is like when Tripod did that Triple J song in an hour challenge.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, but they didn't have to perform other songs while writing that song.
There are moments where I'm like, oh, don't forget, you have to play a song in like the next 20 minutes. But I'm also doing the show at the same time.
Multitasking.
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
Wow.
Gillian, what's your favourite venue in Brisbane to perform? In Brisbane, in Melbourne.
Oh,
to
perform that. I haven't been back to Brisbane for a long time. In Melbourne, there are a lot of venues that I love in Melbourne. It's a city full of excellent venues and excellent places to play. But for sentimental reasons, I just love playing at the Butterfly Club. I love it so much. I love all the people.
And it's a beautiful venue.
Venue. To me, it feels like, you know, like that's where I just had my birthday party. We were just talking about it. They're just good people. It's a cool space. The programming is great. And yeah, I just really love it there. I think it's a place where, you know, I would always do shows if I can, or, you know, certainly trial shows and stuff like that. Yeah, it's my fave.
Because I would think that performing musical comedy would not really work in certain venues, but then in others it would, like, flourish.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. There are a lot of beautiful venues that are very well equipped for that stuff in Melbourne. So you have places like the Toffin Town or Chapel or things like that I love playing at. It's more like if I want to go out and do, like, a comedy spot. For me, a lot of stand-up rooms are not, like, there's not even a stage. It's like, here's the corner that you stand in while you do your spot. So the logistics of bringing a keyboard to places like that are tricky. They're not unfeasible. They're just fun new ways to discover the lows of humanity.
Maybe we should save up and get you one of those ones that you wear around your neck.
Ooh,
you
like,
know?
A keter.
Yeah. Like a keter.
Yeah, thanks,
I
guys.
Like a necklace. Like a statement piece.
Or one
piece.
Of those
totally.
T-shirts the little that have like the keys built in. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're a thing.
I do not know about this.
We're gonna create a Kickstarter and we're gonna get you one of those, Jillian. Don't you worry.
I want a show built around this.
But in the meantime, we're gonna try to buy you a piano key necktie great. As well.
I do own numerous novelty piano gifts that have been given to me over the years.
Oh great.
There's more.
Thanks everyone.
We'll find
more.
Them.
Do you think we're done?
So we wondered, do you have any advice or tips for people who want to get into musical comedy themselves?
Good question. Nope, nothing.
Just leave it to me.
You're all very self-explanatory. The path is clear. It's easy. It's achievable, and so financially sustainable. I guess my thing is because I put off a lot of things, and I do procrastinate, and I avoid work. My thing has always been to just book a gig, to book a festival or a gig or a venue, so that you have to make the thing.
Yeah,
I think it's very easy with comedy, but especially when you're writing songs, even as for musicians, to get hung up on it has to be perfect, it has to be exactly right before I show it to anybody. So I think, yeah, learning that kind of good enough is good enough. Like, I used to never play anything to anybody until I decided it was totally finished, and now I make a song up on the stage for the audience and throw it at them. So
wow, that's progression. Yeah. Well done.
Isn't it?
That's really exciting.
You know,
yeah.
Laziness. It's one of those two things.
But can I lust us?
Yeah.
Exactly. We can have both.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I would say is, like, just do the thing. Don't worry about it being perfect. It's not great, clear advice, but it's like,
Yeah. But that, like, you could apply that to all forms of comedy where you may write a joke, or you may write a song and not be sure if it's funny. Or if other people are going to like it, but the point is that you get up and you do it. And more often than not, your instincts would kick in, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, the nice thing with comedy is that you get your feedback immediately.
Yeah,
so
totally.
If I write a whole musical or I do a beautiful dance piece or something, it's unlikely I'll be doing that. But one day. But I don't know until, you know, afterwards, until reviews, I talk to people. Whereas comedy, your audience is the review in the moment. You say it, and if no one laughs, you go, okay, let's. Probably needs to be a bit different.
Noted.
Yeah. It's a fast turnaround.
On a slightly, like, more serious note, I guess. So this week we had International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been having, like, a super women-focused, female-identifying-focused week at Sin.
Mm.
And I was sort of wondering, as a female comedian,
mm-hmm.
How's that going for you?
what's that like?
Yeah, it's
kind of drop some insight.
It's okay. it's a good thing. You know, there is, I find that I have an excellent community of other women and female identifying comedians and performers that I, you know, we sort of have Facebook chats, things like that, where you kind of have a place to just vent and to go, I know this is dumb, but somebody said this to me after the show. And it's, so that's really nice and helpful. And that's also a strong community of women that I think are, doing great things and are very funny and good at what they do and, you know, working hard. And a lot of the time it's just kind of supporting each other and getting your voice out there and stuff like that. I had, I haven't had this for ages. I had a guy write to me after my show in Perth, just gone. And the worst thing about this message is that I know that he thought it was a really nice message.
Oh, no. And okay. Let's hear it. Let's go. Come on. Let's
you can
go.
Guess the top three things it says, and you're already, like, it sounds like a parody of what I would write. Like, he basically was like, you know, I came to see your show last night and I loved it so much. And I just wanted to say, don't ever doubt that you're not helping anyone because what you do improves lives. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't doubt that, but thanks for telling me that I'm great, even though that's fine.
Thanks
I don't
for your
need
approval.
You to tell me.
Yeah.
Which he followed up with, I brought a friend of mine. He usually hates female comedians, but he thought you were really funny. That's got to be the greatest compliment, breaking a stereotype like that. And then he closed it with, I saw that you were struggling with your keyboard in the foyer after. Wasn't struggling. Carried all the time. Let me know if I can come down and help you carry any of that gear for the rest of your run. And I was like, like, how do I even begin? And so I had this excellent group of lady comedians that I just wrote to, and I was like, hey, mates, how is a way that I can write back to this where I can use this as an opportunity to sort of educate this guy but not be a jerk, which is, you know, it's infuriating to me that that's what I have to do already instead of being like, sorry about your sexist friend. Bye. So, and one friend of mine, she was great. She was kind of like, okay, she's like, I finished yelling and now here's my calmly prepared response. Well, she was kind of like, write back to him and just say, you know, thanks for coming. I really enjoy what I do. This might be a great opportunity to talk to your friend now about a whole genre of comedy that's missing out on. Also, women aren't a genre of comedian. They're just half the population.
Nice.
And then go, here's a list of other comedians I think are great, and kind of give them a list of people, and then finish it with, you know, I've been touring with my keyboard for the last 10 years and everything is fine. I just, even if you saw me walking, it would look like I was struggling. I'm very clumsy. Goodbye. I haven't sent it
That's
yet,
a good
but
response.
Maybe I will send it.
That was a great response.
He
well
might
done.
Be listening,
yeah, so. Yeah, sure. Thanks, Craig. that's not his real name. So I guess my thing is kind of boosting up other women whenever you can. But also, a lot of the best opportunities I've had in comedy have been given to me by excellent men as well. So, you know, just keeping the conversation open. Just keeping it going.
Great.
Yeah.
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 Jillian, I was hoping you could tell us a story. So something cool happened to you in 2014. Pharrell Williams.
Good. I was like, oh no, this is about that time that I did that thing. It's not about that.
Oh no. Well, that'll be next. I'll see if I remember to ask you about that. Can you tell us a Pharrell Williams story, maybe?
I can. Once there was a boy named Pharrell. It was an unusual name. So in 2014, I did this project with my boyfriend and a friend of ours, Matt and Dave. They have a production company, and so I didn't have any kind of video of any of my songs, and we wanted to shoot stuff. We didn't know where to do it or when or how to kind of make it work. And then we found out that the Play Me, I'm Yours exhibit was coming to Melbourne, which is when they put all those pianos all over the city. So we basically went out over a weekend and just filmed a heap of songs. And I had a couple of covers that I already play, and Matt was like, you have to do top 40. Like, you have to do a top 10 song. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
I'm not a
pop like things
artist.
That people don't like. And so he, actually our friend Dean convinced me to do Happy. And I was like, all right, but I can't do it by myself. So I got some friends to do it. And so we just shot this kind of fun cover of Happy out the front of the Arts Centre on the piano that was there. And then people really liked it. I guess we would say it went viral. It was a virus. I'm so sorry you lost all your photos. So that was great. And that all kind of happened and blew up and it was this really cool thing. And then like 6 months later, my dad just casually sends me a Facebook message from like a distant cousin of his going, has Jillian seen this? And my dad is always sending me weird things. It's the best. I never know what it's going to be. And it's a link to YouTube. And I'm like, what is this? And then it was Pharrell Williams in his hat and his sunglasses going, Australia, have you seen this? Jillian Cosgrove sings Happy. And he said my name. Anyway, I jumped up in the air. I split my jeans in half. I still have them. I still wear them. I don't care. Yeah. And so it was this kind of
That's
just
awesome.
Crazy thing.
That is so cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
It was extremely cool. Yeah. So that's what happened. The internet
Six
magic
later
happened.
As well.
I know.
Like, normally things
well,
happen within like 48
it,
hours
like he
now.
Put it up and we just didn't see it. And so then it was this nice kind of surprise later.
Oh.
Like a Christmas present that falls down the back of the couch. And then you're like, yes.
Yes, or when you wash your pants and then you're like, $5.
Yes. Exactly that.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool time.
So that's probably all we have time for
on
today's show. But for anyone interested in finding out more about your show or just more about your previous shows or where to get your CD, what should they do?
If you want tickets to the show, go to thebutterflyclub.com. That's where the tickets are. Get them. Otherwise, you can look at my website, which is jilliancosgrove.com, or my Facebook, which is under Jillian Cosgrove with a G.
Awesome.
Very important.
Fantastic. I have one more question for you, Jillian.
Yes.
This is a bit left of centre, but
great.
Just go with me
okay.
on this, because we talked about it beforehand, and we were like, wouldn't this be great if we asked all our guests this at the end of the interview?
Good.
How do you take your Weet-Bix?
Can I tell you something so much?
See, I knew it would be good, you guys. I knew it. Okay, great.
I can do both a hot and cold Weet-Bix, depending on winter or summer. I don't mind.
Tell us the story.
Well, my dad is a hot Weet-Bix man, so my dad will do 4 Weet-Bix in a bowl, boil the kettle.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
yeah.
Water.
Oh, yeah. Blasphemy.
Boil the boiling water over the Weet-Bix, let it soak up, remove any excess, then we put sugar all over the top because obviously.
Of course.
And then milk, right? So if I'm doing that cold, I just do milk and sugar. But my boyfriend does this. Weet-Bix in a bowl.
Yep.
Nutri-Grain in the same bowl.
Oh, my God.
Then, when they were kids,
hybrid.
As a treat, cream just on the top, and then a little bit of milk.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, I don't know. I do not know.
That's
I'm inspired. I'm inspired. I've just been having it like with a bit of milk and like brown sugar or honey.
Yeah. No, there's a whole, world other out level. There.
Yeah, this is
like
things.
It's textural, it's architectural, yeah, it's everything.
Wow.
It's diabetes, guys. That's probably what it is.
But it's fiber as well. So.
Yeah, they cancel each other out.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming
That's right. Thanks for having me.